At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Get the best quality paints from Dutch Boy for all your projects at Menards. MaxBond Plus exterior paint and primer in one is designed to stand strong against extreme weather. It provides max adhesion, hide, and performance, and repels rain in just 90 minutes after application. And with Dutch Boy's high-performing paints that last, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards today and get your paint project started.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey everyone, I'm Ashley Banfield and this is Drop Dead Serious, and I don't always tell the truth, especially when it comes to eating. I secretly eat late at night and I don't want my husband knowing about it because I struggled with eating my whole life and I'm always on a diet and I'm always fasting and all the rest, and I don't tell the truth about always eating the night before, and I sometimes try to hide some of the stuff in the garbage. It's that bad. Yes. It is a terrible fault, but I don't think I'm very good at hiding it. I have something called consciousness of guilt. I try to not tell the truth about the eating at night, but he always knows. And he's really nice about it. I mean, he doesn't hold my feet to the fire about anything. It's really just me. I'm just the one who's like wound up about it. But it brings me to Brian Hooker, because all roads right now lead to Brian Hooker, right? My roads... Coast Guard Investigative Services roads are all leading to Brian Hooker, who I am wondering, what road are you on right now, Brian? You sure have gone underground. You're off the grid somewhere, whether you were in Michigan at some point getting that lawyer of yours, or in Sacramento saying, I need to see my sick mom, and your sister's there, the one who helped you in the Bahamas. Love to know her story. I would love to see your face now. Suddenly you're not giving interviews anymore. Why? Brian Hooker, why are you not giving interviews? Because I think your consciousness of guilt might show. Because you have lied. You have lied about so many things provable. Let's just start with the weather. You lied about the weather. The night you said there were 2 to 4 foot seas, and out Lynette went and I couldn't reach her. Because the seas were angry, my friend, and we got separated, and I'm a former Marine, and I can't deal with that? Seas weren't angry, my friend. It was calm, glass-like, actually, barely a ripple. We saw the pictures, saw the videos of that exact time of night in that exact place. So you're a liar. What else did you lie about? I'm investigating as well. Witnesses, things that were on board, maybe might still be on board, might now be in evidence. Behaviors, all sorts of things, photographs, lots of things that show, ooh, Brian, things aren't looking good for you. And one thing that doesn't look good is you, the way you look when you speak and when you try to tell everybody what happened, including your friend Blaine Stevenson, who recorded you because you started to sound like shite. Actually, he recorded you because your verbal logorrhea went on for 40 minutes and they just couldn't keep up. They just couldn't write the stuff fast enough. And then they started to realize, what the hell is going on with this guy? The stuff he's saying is just preposterous and implausible and you name it. Thank God they recorded it, because now we have a record of your behavior and your lies. So that audio exists, which we can analyze, and also your interviews with CBS, ABC, and NBC the morning after you got bounced out of detention in the Bahamas because they just couldn't come up with enough evidence to keep you. I don't know how. I could see it. I could see probable cause like that just by looking at the weather and your bullshit story of going from the Abaco Inn back to your sailboat. That stuff didn't match. I could have found that within 24 hours. I could have found that was a lie. I could have actually gone to all of those homes and asked, for their surveillance video. But unfortunately, I wasn't there long enough. And that stuff records over. And by the time I had tracked down many of these homes, that stuff had recorded over. It doesn't mean that the agencies that actually operate those systems can't scratch some of those images. Because I think they can. They did in Nancy Guthrie's case. Oh, Brian. Bad fact, right? Might be able to actually get the surveillance video from all the homes that overlook Aunt Pat's Bay that saw your boat. And maybe even your dinghy actually coming back to your boat that night. Instead of having a catastrophic incident 1,000 yards away that blew you 4 miles to Marsh Harbor. Forensically, there's going to be a gold mine. But you yourself are a gold mine. Mm. That's my best Schitt's Creek imitation, by the way. The way you spoke to reporters who asked you simple questions speaks volumes. And it doesn't say the things you think you're saying. The things you said, the way you said them, there are experts trained in the art and science of the way you speak. If you have, say, consciousness of guilt, the stuff I have with the food at night. So I have interviewed Scott Rouse many times. He's my go-to guy. And some people say, oh, body language is bullshit science. It is not. Not if you believe our, you know, top law enforcement agencies and what they use and what they think about it. So the FBI turns to Scott Rouse and they look at his body of work and his ability to analyze people and how they speak and whether they're telling the truth or not. He's actually one of the top behavioral analysts because he's been training people alongside not just the FBI, but also the United States Secret Service and United States military intelligence. So, yeah, Scott Rouse knows a thing or two about the science of how you speak, what happens with your face, your facial muscles, all of it. And when you're telling a lie, the things you do unconsciously, subconsciously, speak volumes that your words don't say at all. So I called up Scott Rouse to ask him to go through some of these clips of Brian Hooker's interviews and his logorrhea, long conversation that he had for 40 minutes with Blaine and Marnie Stevenson to get his take on whether Brian Hooker is a big fat liar with a big dose of consciousness of guilt, or whether he's a grieving man who just lost his wife, boink, off the back of the dinghy. Here's my conversation with Scott Rouse. Scott, what do you make of Brian Hooker overall? Before we go granular, just generally speaking, everything you've seen and heard about the story and about what he has said actually happened.
When I look at these things, as you know, I used to look for what's missing. That's the first thing I look for. And things that are missing are things like the grief muscle, real tears. The changes in emotion should be slow. The facial expressions with emotion should be slow, but they're not slow. They happen really, really quickly. He'll go from a blank face into this emotional face where he looks a little bit sad, and then he'll click right back into a flat affect. And usually those things, they'll morph from one emotion to another, but they don't morph. They just click really quickly.
Is there a difference, though? And I don't want to interrupt, but is there a difference between, say, me, and I'm an emotional wreck half the time, and, say, a Marine? And I'm going to say former Marine, because every time I talk about Brian Hooker, I don't think he espouses any aspects of Semper Fi or the principles they live by. So he's a different animal already because he's got that sort of Marine background. And do you have to accommodate for that?
In a way, because there'll be things that, like surprises or something like that, you'll take into consideration when you're talking about a police officer or someone in the military because of their background and things they've been doing and the things they're used to. So they're usually controlling their emotions and they don't want to show everybody how they feel at work, when they're working on something. So you'll take that into consideration sometimes. But especially if it looks a little bit off, you can say, oh, here's probably why they didn't react to this in the way we expected, because that's a police officer and they see horrible things all the time. Or it's someone in the military and we know they've had a background of violence when they were in the military. They were, in combat and things like that. So you'll take those, and firemen the same way. You'll take those things into consideration when you see something that's a little bit off.
Well, let me start with the first clip. This comes from ABC News. And as you know, he sat down a matter of hours. He got out of jail detention at 8 o'clock at night. And the next day, secretly, unbeknownst to all of us, he's getting emergency passports in place to bounce out of the Bahamas. And he's sitting down with ABC, NBC and CBS to try to, I guess, spread his word as wide as possible. But in the ABC interview, he talks about how his job was to look out for Lynette. Let me play this clip and then I'm going to talk to you on the other side.
I will always think there was something I could have done differently. My one job was to look out for her, and that has not happened. And I'm going to keep looking out for her now as best I can.
The husband of missing American woman Lynette Hooker speaking out after he was detained in the Bahamas for 5 days in connection with her disappearance.
What was it like being in police custody, knowing that the search was still ongoing for your wife?
It was hell. It was a different chapter of hell and a giant hell that I'm in.
You're still in it.
Yes. I don't have a wife. She belongs with me.
So many questions, but you just share your initial thoughts of all of that.
All right. Right out of the gate, in this interview, I believe I'm right on this. The answer he's talking about there at the very first, where he starts just talking about, he should be taking care of her, and he's sorry he didn't get to. There was a question before that, and the question was, what was the last thing you two said to each other? And then he says all that, which has nothing to do with what they said to each other.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hello, my name's Stephen Fry. Today, it's my pleasure to be your guide on this quite interesting tour of London.
Find out how Big Ben
keeps accurate time with the help of a handful of pre-decimal coins, like pennies, farthings and shillings from 1933.
And that
London's classic red phone boxes were actually based on a tomb.
Join Stephen Fry and the makers of QI for fun-filled and fact-laden GPS-enabled audio tours. Enjoy on location or at home. To get started, visit qi.com/walkingtours.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favourite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, my name's Stephen Fry. Today, it's my pleasure to be your guide on this quite interesting tour of London.
Find out how Big Ben
keeps accurate time with the help of a handful of pre-decimal coins, like pennies, farthings and shillings from 1933.
And that
London's classic red phone boxes were actually based on a tomb.
Join Stephen Fry and the makers of QI for fun-filled and fact-laden GPS-enabled audio tours. Enjoy on location or at home. To get started, visit qi.com/walkingtours.
So you have that, and there at the end you have that fake crying. Now, I didn't mean to be smiling, because it's a bad situation, but it's so bad when you see that. It's so not right, because we don't see all the things engaging in his face emotionally.
You know it's fake crying.
Oh, yeah. That's yeah. And I'll tell you, every woman that watches this is going to say, that's fake. as I'm sure you thought that as well, because you all see things we don't see, and your brain gathers a whole lot more information than the male brain does, a lot faster. And something tells you something's not right here, and I know that the women watching this are going to see that and go, well, no, it's not right. Why do I feel that way? And that's why, because that's fake. And so what's missing from this is the grief muscle, this little muscle right here, the glabella, that little group of muscles there, they'll group up, and this one will push down, and it makes this upside-down horseshoe-looking thing. And that's how you know someone's grieving. You see that when someone's lost a family member or when they're in a great deal of pain, they've been shot or hit by a car or something, you'll see that as well. So we don't see any movement in the chin boss, this little section down here. That should come up when little babies start crying. That's one of the first things you see. Is a
quiver.
Yeah, a little chin thing goes up, makes another upside-down horseshoe kind of thing there, sort of wrinkles a little bit. None of that.
Oh, so not even a quiver, but just an upside-down horseshoe.
Yeah, you get a little, it's that thing goes first as the lips start to come down, because those muscles all work in concert to make that happen. We don't see anything like that. We're not seeing anything engage for true sadness, the emotion of sadness, in this. So, and he looks apprehensive. He's got these, we don't hear the things we're supposed to hear either when he's talking. You know, when he talks, there should be these gasps of air as you go through these. You know how it is when you think about something and you remember what's happening, you're discussing whatever the problem was, and then you'll remember it again as you're talking about it. You'll go down through the conversation, and you, all of a sudden you'll remember it again, and they'll take gasps, and it'll start hitting them again emotionally. None of that. So it's just pretty much straight. It's a straight fake affect he's got going on. There's sort of like a cloak of fake he's put on it, because nothing really changes.
Can I ask you, like, I know a lot of times I struggled a lot with 9/11, talking to people about 9/11 for many years afterwards, even now, honestly. And when I'm overcome, I go silent. I'm unable to get it out, because whatever's going to come out will be embarrassing to me. Mm-hmm. It's going to sound choked and weird and funny, and I just don't feel like I'm in control of myself. And so it's hard to continue speaking. Is there any of that that comes out with him, or is that just unique to me?
That's what he's trying to make you think is happening. That's why he does that coffin thing. You can't pull it off.
You're still in it.
Yes. I don't have a wife. She belongs with me.
And so I've seen that 1,000 times. They'll do that and they'll cough like that, like he does. And he does it a couple of times in other interviews as well. So that just does not, there's nothing for me that's real in that at all. It's so bad. The acting in that is so bad. I can see why people would see that and say, oh, you know, he's maybe feeling that emotion, but in real life, he's not feeling
it. I did hear some people say he did quite a job, and he was very believable, did a very good job on his interviews with the network television. But I don't think a lot of those people see things the way you do. And I don't think anyone's as jaded as me living this career that I've lived and basically facing killers left, right, and center. Not saying he is one. He hasn't been charged with anything yet. But the other thing that I noticed is that TV cameras can make people behave differently. And that has never been a friend of ours, you know, that you bring out a big TV camera and everybody behaves differently. And if you're grieving, couldn't that really interrupt and muck with the results a little bit as well? The fact that there's this live, you know, or what he feels like is this live moment that he has to be on in front of everyone with a reporter and a microphone, and it could jade the way the real emotion would be.
Yeah, that goes back to what I'm talking about, why it's fake. Because when that comes on, you try to hold back a little bit. When people cry, they're not trying for you to see them cry. They're trying not to cry. That's what makes you cry, because you can see what's happening. You get like that too. But this guy, he's trying to cry. So there's no, that the TV or the camera being there doesn't affect him at all. It just makes him want to act more. He knows that everybody's looking at him. So that's the stress he's feeling. It's not the trying to hold the emotion back so nobody will see the way I'm really feeling, if that makes sense.
You know, it does. And I never thought of the fact that you just said most people are trying not to, mm-hmm. and they're overwhelmed with the sadness, and it just blurts out, or ugly cry, you know, like it comes out in an ugly way. But you're right. I never thought of it that way, that most people are trying to hold it back no matter what.
That's why you can't talk sometimes, because you're trying to hold it back, but you know if it gets loose, it's like it's going to sound, you know, you don't want it to sound that way.
Okay, here is another clip I want you to take a look at. And specifically, this feels like Forensics 101 to me, but if you refer to your spouse in the present or past tense, it can be very revealing. Let's look.
Family and friends have spoken about your relationship with Lynette. We've seen a police report of a domestic incident that left you with a bloody nose and her in handcuffs. Is there anything that you want us to know about your relationship with Lynette?
I want you to know that Lynette and I loved each other the most. We've been together almost half our lives. My sole focus is finding Lynette.
So, Scott, he said, Lynette and I loved each other the most. Is that meaningful to you?
Yeah, because he's been talking about this is how long, how many days has she been gone?
Oh, it's not point? Even, I think, 9 days at this point.
Oh, so so it's over a week and he knows she's not coming back. So a lot of times what will happen is, and you see it all the time, when someone is talking about someone who's missing and nobody knows for sure what's happened to him. They'll talk about him in the past tense. They do it with little children. They do it with husbands, wives, whoever it is. They'll talk about them. They love them, or he was such a good boy, or she was such a sweet little girl. And they'll talk about them in the past tense. And when that happens, everybody goes, okay, here we go. And a lot of times you'll change your protocol and start going down another path once that happens. That's how important that is.
And yeah, I've always felt like past tense is right away the flag that you look for, because that's the last thing in your mind you want to be real, is that it's over. It's done. She's never coming back. You would just refuse to believe that if you really didn't want to believe it. There's another clip where Brian talks about what happened after that terrible moment where Lynette just bounced out of the boat. I want you to see how he describes it and see if there's clues in there that I don't see.
Okay.
Brian says on April 4th, he and his wife had drinks at this inn, later departing from this dock. Brian, in his own words, describing the moment he says she fell from a boat due to bad weather in the Bahamas and was swept away.
The wind blew us apart so fast that I think she tried to swim back to the sailboat, back to our sailboat, which was probably, I don't know, 1,000 yards or something. But the waves were 3 foot.
In a phone call to a friend made the day before he was arrested, Brian Hooker saying he tried to rescue her.
I threw her a flotation cushion that we used to sit on the dinghy, right after she went in. But I couldn't tell if she got it or not. I'm never going to forgive myself.
So what do you make of that?
There's no emotion in it. I mean, that's not the emotion that comes with that phone call. When he's talking about the things that happened, you're talking about your wife falling off a boat and it's your fault. And you don't know where she is, and he's talking that calmly and that quietly, even though he's in the military. That's his wife. That's different. There should be emotion there, and there isn't. There should be the heavy breathing there, and there isn't. There should be pauses there as he thinks about what's happening, and there isn't. He thought about what he was going to say, but he never said it out loud or structured it to make sense. So that's why it sounds so disjointed and so odd. It's because he thought, I'll just give this idea out. She fell off the boat, da 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 da. Okay, I got it. I can do it. And that's what happens when you start delivering that kind of all that information at once when you really haven't structured it and thought about how it's going to sound. So that's the problem there. No emotion along with all that.
And again, he's a former United States Marine, but this phone call is coming like within a day of Lynette disappearing in such a tragedy. So, you know, the proximity of the event to the explanation of the event, is there something to that?
Yeah, because what you're dealing with emotionally, and I keep focusing on emotions because that's what we should be dealing with unless we're dealing with it. I don't think this guy's a psychopath, but there should be more emotion there. There's nothing there that should be there, or how I should word that. Everything's missing that should be there, in other words. You know, there's nothing there from what he's talking about to what he's delivering to the way he's acting. Nothing's there.
Yeah, and by the way, the fact that he went on and on and on and on to Blaine and his wife, Marnie. I mean, look, some people are chatty Cathys, but in your grief, would you just have verbal logorrhea for 40 minutes straight?
No, you'd say what happened over and over if you're going to keep talking. She fell off the boat. This happened. I was just standing there. She fell off the boat. I'm sorry. I didn't mean, she fell off the boat. That's what would happen. But he's trying to sell what he wants everybody to think happened. So he keeps setting up the, that's what I was saying about earlier, he didn't structure this, so he's got points he wants to make. And he's trying to make sure that it makes a picture in their mind of what happened to her. That's why we keep hearing those repeated phrases sometimes. He's trying to tell them his side of the story when there doesn't need to be a his side of the story yet.
You know, so there's something interesting about that. Jim Todd from Fire and Rescue went out with him that morning. You know, he washes up at 4 a.m. Fire and Rescue pulls him on board at about 7:30 a.m. from the harbor where he had Marsh Harbor, where he'd washed up. And they immediately take him to his sailboat where he spends an hour down below deck with a police officer. And then they go searching and they're looking for the story from him. Jim goes up on the bow with Brian Hooker saying, is it here? Is it here? Is it over here? Where did it happen? You know, where do we start? You know, like, give us some help here. And Jim says to us, it was so strange that all he would keep answering is, I was just so confused. I mean, I was just so confused. And they weren't hammered. They'd only had two drinks over the course of 3 hours at the Abaco Inn. So what do you make of the fact that he's in broad daylight when this supposed incident happens, and he's back 24 hours later, not even 24 hours later, he's back 16 hours later in broad daylight, and I was just so confused. What do you make of that?
Well, if you have the minutia worked out, if you start telling the little bitty things that happened, everything that worked out, that happened up to that point, that's a big deal, because you're saying things nobody will remember. If he can't remember what side of the boat it was on, he can't remember what the basic details the police are asking him after a situation like that, no, that's not right. So again, he hasn't thought out what happened or how he's going to. He's thought about what happened, but he hasn't thought about his.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better, and that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hello, my name's Stephen Fry. Today, it's my pleasure to be your guide on this quite interesting tour of London.
Find out how Big Ben
keeps accurate time with the help of a handful of pre-decimal coins, like pennies, farthings and shillings from 1933.
And that
London's classic red phone boxes were actually based on a tomb.
Join Stephen Fry and the makers of QI for fun-filled and fact-laden GPS-enabled audio tours. Enjoy on location or at home. To get started, visit qi.com/walkingtours.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, my name's Stephen Fry. Today, it's my pleasure to be your guide on this quite interesting tour of London.
Find out how Big Ben
keeps accurate time with the help of a handful of pre-decimal coins, like pennies, farthings and shillings from 1933.
And that
London's classic red phone boxes were actually based on a tomb.
Join Stephen Fry and the makers of QI for fun-filled and fact-laden GPS-enabled audio tours. Enjoy on location or at home. To get started, visit qi.com/walkingtours.
Defense on that, his alibi, in other words, he doesn't have that thing worked out yet. It's maybe a situation where he planned the whole thing, or it may have been a situation where he just saw his shot and took it. But he hasn't got everything planned out yet, everything structured to talk about. So that's why they'll say, I don't know, I was just so confused. And when you hear that, that's why if he kept pressing him for other questions, hoping you would break him for something there for a minute, see if you could get something else out of him. Because quite often you can get in there and make him angry, and certain personality types will pop off, and they'll start saying other stuff, and they'll let other things slip as they're mad, as they're yelling or you know, getting all stiffened up and saying little things, defending themselves against that police officer.
Well, listen, this is fire and rescue. And at this point, nobody knows that this isn't true. They're just thinking, oh, my God, we got to find this woman. Help us. Where did it happen? Is it there? Is it there? Is it here? And, you know, the fire and rescue guy has been through this rodeo a lot, right? He's had to go out and help find people. And he said, what struck me about this one was that he seemed to have so much else down pat later on. But this very large detail, he just couldn't seem to, you know, come up with something to tell me, almost as though he wasn't expecting this question and was trying to think through all the possibilities of how it might not screw his other story.
Yeah, because when you lie, the first thing that happens, you have to have something that triggers your lie. And then you have to deconflict that lie. You have to think about, what have I said so far, or what am I going to say that would conflict with what's actually already happened? What do they know? What if I say something that conflicts with what they already know? So you've got to deconflict it. And then after you deconflict it, you create your answer and then you send it out. So it takes, there's that delay there. So I'm sure during all that, he's thinking about how he's going to deliver this and try and decide whether, how much they actually know. I know it's just the rescue guy, but you never know in a situation like that, because he's probably not the smartest guy in the world, because he hasn't thought that far out.
I guarantee you that, you know, fired from AT&T for cheating and lying and, you know, masking his GPS so that company didn't know where he was, you know. Multiple times they attempted to fire him 3 times. He beat at them 2 other times fight the firing, and then the 3rd time was the charm. But the fire guy has been incredible. Like, boy, oh boy, the fire and rescue, Jim Todd, has just been so good with his memory, with details, what he was wearing, how he was behaving. All of this stuff has just been like a, you know, it's been a gold mine for investigators. I want you to see this clip from CBS. Again, this is the parade of all the interviews where he was telling everybody how sad his life was. This was about continuing the search for Lynette. It's been, again, about 9 days since she so to speak went missing off the back of the boat. And I want you to listen to his answer and how he answers.
I won't be able to stop looking.
Hours after being released by Bahamian police last night, Brian Hooker fought back tears as he sat down with CBS News and told us he wants to resume the search for his missing wife, Lynette.
You want to keep looking for Lynette? I'm going to need somebody with more authority to tell me to stop.
Do you believe that Lynette's still alive?
I do. I believe, I've been told that people have lasted in the Bahamas after falling overboard for days and even weeks. My goal is to go back and speak with the Hopetown Fire and Rescue volunteers. They have been, I believe, still looking whenever they can.
Hooker says he and his wife left the restaurant at the Abaco Inn around 7:30 the night of April 4th and boarded their dinghy to return to their sailboat, which was anchored a short ride away. He says Lynette fell into rough waters and started swimming towards their sailboat while he drifted away from her on the dinghy.
What was it like to sail together?
Fantastic. We're more like co-captains.
Well, that is convincing to someone like me, because it feels like he's catching his breath in sorrow and grief and frustration. Looks like he's real committed to this task, which, by the way, I guess 12 hours later, he's on a plane out of there. But we didn't know that at the time.
Yeah. People, what's he saying, though? I mean, I understand what he's saying. We understand what he's saying. But that's just so cornball. You wouldn't get that cornball this time, in the timeline of things, when she's gone and you're here, saying, I'll need someone with more authority to keep me.
I'm going to need somebody with more authority to tell me to stop.
Come on, man. You say, I'm going to, because nobody talks like that. He'd say, I'm going to keep looking. I'm going right now. You know, if y'all want to come with me, we should come with me, because that's where I'm going. This guy should be a little bit jumpy, a little bit goosey, trying to get out of there. And he's not. If he's that concerned about her, he wouldn't be sitting there trying to play up everything. And again, the things that are missing from there, it may look real. It may look somewhat real, but there's nothing there that there's somebody that's working on this case that's sounding just like me, the me of that case, they're mad. They're all worked up and angry too and frustrated because it's laying right there in front of you and you see it, how fake it is. So I'm getting worked up because it just looks so fake.
Makes you mad.
He's
winding us all up. And here he is saying that he's going to need a higher authority to keep him from searching for his wife. And he is behind the scenes of this interview. He's getting his emergency passport and he's on the plane the next day.
So Exhibit A, Your Honor. So, and again, these are just my opinions as well. I'm not saying those are facts. I'm just saying that's the way it looks to me.
Okay, so there's something else I want you to see. And this is Blaine Stevenson. These are the dear friends of Lynette and Brian's who Brian has called to say, well, this happened. And Blaine, who is a mariner and a live aboard, right, lives aboard his boat, knows everything about this kind of potential disaster, is peppering him with a lot of questions and trying to get, like, clarity on something that just doesn't sound, you know, plausible. And here is the phone call. Again, you're just going to hear audio because it's a recorded phone call with Brian Hooker trying to explain what happened to his friend Blaine Stevenson. Have a listen.
So where were you guys coming from and going to? Because that's what I couldn't figure out in any of the Facebook articles I was reading, like how to do a grid pattern search.
Like, well, I don't really understand the currents and tides here. I kind of rely on Hopetown. So off of a place called Elbow Key, and that's called Elbow, spelled Elbow K-C-A-Y. And we were kind of in the middle of the key, and there's a place called Tahiti Beach. It's really popular here, and it's a beach that dries out at low tide. And so a barge runs up on it and serves drinks all day from there. And there's a lot of manta rays will go around your legs and everything, and all of that. And so we really liked that spot. And we had been kind of stuck in the harbor for a while, so we were getting out and about. We had to go to a different island called Great Guanaki to refill our scuba tanks, and it was going all right. And it's been strong easterlies, and that's what you get here is the trades, basically. We're at the top of the trades, and so we were having, basically 20 knot winds steady all day with a couple gusts here and there. And where we were anchored was pretty quiet, but when we came out of this bar called the Abaco Inn, we came out of the channel and instantly got into the chop.
So you guys were anchored outside Abaco Inn, like by White Sound or Joe's K?
Yeah, we were anchored out by, we were anchored out, I would say, a half mile south of the channel, the White Sound Channel on Elbow Key towards Tahiti Beach. We were at the south end of something called On Pat's Bay, like Californians say Ant, or Westerners say Ant. But,
okay, there's a lot to go over. The detail that comes out of this guy's mouth that has nothing to do with the question, which is very simply, so what exactly happened? Where were you coming from and going to? And suddenly he goes into several days ago, we were getting our scuba tanks filled at Great Guanaki, and you spell key C-A-Y here. And the Californians will say Aunt Pat's Bay, but it's Aunt Pat here. I mean, what do you make of this unbelievable verbal diarrhea?
That has a name, and it's called chaff and redirect. One of my partners, Greg Hartley, is the one that actually put a name to it. And what that does is, for example, when a fighter plane is flying and they shoot missiles at it, it shoots chaff out of the back of the plane. Little things are on fire, metal, aluminum things. So hopefully the rocket will think that's the plane, as these things fall away from the plane, the plane goes to the side, and they're hoping that the rocket will chase the chaff and not the plane. So what happens is you throw out all that chaff in hopes that somebody will glom onto it, like he did. He said, you were anchored where? When they started talking about that. So that is working for him, but at the same time, there's so much information there, you still have that big glob of, here's all the things that happened that I've been talking about. Here's all the things. And he's creating time there for himself because he's saying, we're over here for this one part. And then he'll talk about how far away it was or what the water's like and there's what kind of fish are there. But he's creating time there in those situations. So when they left the place to when they got here, how long does that take? Well, he's talking about things that happened in between there.
So he's talking about days ago. I mean, they were filling up their scuba tanks at least 2, maybe more days before all of this happened. Why would that even enter into the picture here?
Third Love makes bras that actually fit. So they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body. It's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Out at McDonald's, te puedes llevar un $5 McChicken meal deal o un $6 McDouble meal deal. Así, hay algo para todos. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu meal deal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something. But this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for The New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery. But we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's The Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Think about your mentors and idols, the people who inspire you most. While it may look like they have all the answers, they don't. But they do know when to ask questions and seek the support they need. In a world that glorifies hyper-independence, it's easy to forget that we're all better with a support system. Therapy is a great way to find a consistent source of support in your life, so you can break free from the outdated belief that seeking help is a sign of weakness. BetterHelp has experienced therapists ready to help you with challenges, ranging from anxiety and depression to relationships and stress. It's convenient, too. You can join a session with the click of a button, helping you fit therapy into your busy life. And you deserve that. You can even send your therapist a message anytime something comes up. Build your support system with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
Because he's trying to get this guy to talk about something else. And he's got what's called inner dialogue going on up here. When you hear those kind of things, we went and filled up the tanks and it was a beautiful day. He's trying, that's when you have that double thing going on where he's talking, but he's thinking about what he's going to say next. He didn't structure this thing. That's what I'm saying. He wasn't ready for any of this. Even after somebody's talked to him about it, he still didn't sit down and say, I've got to say it like this.
Right. I mean, listen, he talked about, first of all, he said, well, we filled up our tanks. We've been stuck in the marina with bad weather. Again, this has nothing to do with the last 2 days that they've been on Elbow Key. They've been stuck 2 days ago on Elbow Key and went to Great Guana Key at least before that. And then he talks about, we were at Tahiti Beach all morning. This has nothing to do with anything because they'd have to go all the way back and into Abacoin. And now it matters because they've been on land for a couple hours having drinks. Now they get into the dinghy and head out through the White Sound Channel and hell breaks loose. But he's just gone over everything that had nothing to do with this sort of crisis.
Yeah. Because he wants to talk about those things. He's hoping this guy will say, okay, well, which he did. Tell me about when you left there. He would want to ask that question. But there's all those other things out there that he would hope that he would glom onto. Mm. And say, what about this? What about that? And it's his way to take up time, not only create time for the things that happened. So he could say, well, we did that, but then it took us an hour to get there when it really could have taken 3 minutes. So he's
and the famous phrase, thou dost protest too much, kind of fits here, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, because there's too much there to fit into the story. Nobody talks like that. Nobody tell we when if I were to ask you what it was like when you went over there, tell me about that first day. You'd say we did this, 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 and this. You'd know exactly what happened. You know exactly when it happened. You wouldn't be going on about the minutia of stuff. You know, you wouldn't go on about that.
I wouldn't tell you about the flight over. That's for sure. The other thing with the comments that he makes about Tahiti Beach, I am very disquieted by one of the comments about Tahiti Beach. And you have to really catch it. So I'm going to give some advance notice so that everybody catches it when it happens. But he says, we'd been at Tahiti Beach. It's popular. We'd hung out there all day. Met people that later in the next few days, cool people, and you know how it is, people who, this is the thing that caught me. Met people that in the next few days, cool people. Well, the next few days, you've lost your wife. You're not thinking about anybody you met. And what happened with cool people in the next few days? Let me play it and let me get your thoughts on the other side.
Okay.
Yeah, we had gone whatever, half a mile or so, three quarters to Tahiti Beach, where that's the popular place. Hung out there all day. Met people that later, the next 2 days later, cool people. And I remember, you know how it is, people that don't do what you and Marnie and Lynette, they think we're fucking awesome. And I wax pontifical about having an authentic life, and it's authentic because there's risk. And then I lost my fucking wife that same night. It felt like, feel like the gods were listening in.
So you guys were anchored outside Abaco Inn, like by White Sound or Joe's K?
Yeah, we were anchored out by we were anchored out, I would say, a half mile south of the channel, the White Sound channel on Elbow Key towards Tahiti Beach. It's in a, we were at the south end of something called On Pat's Bay, like Californians say Ant, you know, or Westerners say Ant. But and we had gone whatever, half a mile or so, three quarters to Tahiti Beach, where that's the popular place. Hung out there all day. Met people that later, the next 2 days later, cool people. And I remember, you know how it is, people that don't do what you and Marnie and Lynette, they think we're fucking awesome. And I wax pontifical about having an authentic life, and it's authentic because there's risk. And then I lost my fucking wife that same night. It felt like, feel like the gods were listening in.
Okay, so much there. There's the whole cool people, you know, that in the next few days, cool people. I want to talk about that first, and then I'm going to talk about the next part of it after that. What do you make of that whole cool people in the next few days?
That's about him, because he thinks they're cool people because they liked him. You remember what he talked about earlier? He said, I've lost my wife. And again, he talks about, now I don't have my wife. It's all centering around him. So there's no, it doesn't sound to me like there's much empathy for her, because he doesn't talk about her really until the end there. You know,
but cool people in the next few days, what? In the next few days, your life ended. You shouldn't have been hanging with cool people that you met on the beach. I can't get past this. Like, I feel like he caught himself and changed what he was saying.
That will, there'll be someone looking into this will say that would suggest he's looking into the future before this. You see what I'm saying? So he's looking about once all this is out of the way, he'll be remembering what happened. So he's clocking these cool people, the people that liked him and those kind of things, because he's already placed himself away from this problem. He didn't think this was going to be a problem for him. He didn't think it would be, get this much attention and everybody look at it and say, hey, hang on just a second there, pal. Nobody says pontifical.
So the rest of that is also really interesting, because I think where he was going was in the next few days, maybe he had conversations with them, the cool people that he'd met on the beach, about this authentic life that cruisers, liveaboards have. I mean, they are living on boats for years on end. And a lot of people on the outside are very, you know, amazed by their ability to live this way. And Brian immediately goes to, It's authentic because there's risk, and I lost my fucking wife that same night. I feel like the gods were listening. What does this mean? This is only within like 2 days of this entire thing happening that he's saying these things.
Yeah, it's odd. It everything goes back to him. It's about how his feelings toward those people, those feelings of those people toward him. He lost his wife. He, you know, it's all about him. He didn't say, you know, my wife is. It just doesn't read right. Nobody talks this way when they're supposed to feel, when those emotions that are supposed to be there are there. There's just none there. From an emotional aspect, there's nothing there.
Overall, Scott, look, there's not a lot that we have on him. We've got these three interviews with the, you know, with the major networks and this recorded phone call to his friend. But just overall, is there anything about the way he behaves that just could be unique or strange or, you know, a quirk with him where he just doesn't act like everybody else, that we could be wrong in thinking, man, he sounds guilty?
Well, if you could say that if he was consistent with that, with his feelings throughout these interviews, even though we haven't seen a whole lot of them, that it's been different every time. One, he's kind of coughing, he's talking, you know, he's getting a little, looks like he's getting emotional, but doesn't sound like he's getting emotional. Other ones, he sounds a little emotional, but physically he's not emotional. It's not the same thing every time. When you have a case like, or a situation like that, there'll be the same thing every time. And this isn't, everything's a little different every time. So I think that's because he's fighting to hide his true emotions and trying to create what he thinks is sadness. And the things he thinks a person who's missing a family member, how they should feel and act, that's what we're seeing him act like, what he thinks they should act like. And what he thinks, and it's not that. It's not it. What he's doing isn't the way to do it. So he hadn't done his homework, number two. And number one, I don't think he's a very smart guy. I think that's going to be the part that gets him, if, and this is just my opinion, but if he was to get nailed for all this stuff, that's going to be the thing that does, they'll be able to talk to him back, you know, block him in really early.
Well, and get him and again, hasn't been charged yet.
Yeah.
He's innocent until proven guilty, but yes. I yell the word yet as loud and as often as I can because I don't see this guy having a lot more free time to roam about the cabin around the United States, that's for sure. Yeah. Scott, thank you so much for this analysis. It's so helpful. I feel like you put your finger on the trigger with science of what I'm feeling in my gut.
Oh, well, thank you. That's what I'm trying to do. So I appreciate that. And thanks for having me on here. I really appreciate it.
Not the last time, that's for sure.
Oh, thank you.
My great thanks to Scott Rouse. I tell you what, it's so funny because everything he says, I feel. I just don't know why I feel it. And then he actually puts the science to it and it makes perfect sense. And so, you know, if Brian Hooker's watching or if, I don't know, his sister is watching or any other family member supporting him, you might want to start thinking about who it is you're supporting. Might want to start thinking about what kind of lawyer you got. Because, brah, you're going to need a hell of a lawyer. I think what's coming your way is a world of hurt. It's not just a matter of, will he be charged? Because he's not charged with a crime, right? Brian Hooker's not charged with any crime. Innocent until proven guilty. Not a matter of, will you be charged? It's a matter of when. Tick-tock, motherfucker. Sorry about the salty language. I just can't help it. I honestly am just so angry at this man. I can't stand people like Chris Watts who lie. And I'm not saying he's Chris Watts, but Chris Watts did do a bunch of media saying, my wife and children have left and they're missing and they probably just left on their own. Liar. Liar.
What's going on right now around your house?
Right now it's got K-9 units, the sheriff's department. Everybody's like they're doing their best right now to figure out like if they can get a scent and see where they went. If they went on foot, they went in a car, they went somewhere. And right now it's just like they've been on point, they're going through the house trying to get a scent and hopefully they can pick something up to where it's gonna lead to something.
What happened? Your wife came home and tell me what's
she came home from the airport 2 AM and I left around 5:15. She was still here. And like about 12:10 in that afternoon, her friend Nicole showed up at the door. Like I had texted Shanann a few times that day, called her, say, you know, but she never got back to me, but she wasn't getting back to any of her people as well. And that's what really concerned a lot of people. It's like, if she's not getting back to her, like, if she doesn't get back to me, that's fine. Like, she gets busy during the day. But she didn't get back to her people, which was very concerning. And Nicole called me when she was at the door, and that's when I came home. And then walked in the house, and nothing has vanished. Nothing was here. I mean, she wasn't here. The kids weren't here. Nope, nobody was here.
What's your wife's name?
Shanann. S-H-A-N-A-N-N.
What's your kids?
Bella and Celeste.
How do you spell Celeste?
C-E-L-E-S-T-E.
How old are you about it?
Four. Bella's four, Celeste is three.
And so, how many times did you try calling her?
I called her three times, texted her about three times, just to say, you know, what's going on. Like, I did, because after I called her and texted her once, it's like, maybe she was just busy. Like, she had just gotten back, you know, like, everybody's probably calling her from her trip. She just got back from Arizona, and I figured she was just busy. But when her friend showed up, that's what it was like, it registered, like, all right, this isn't right.
Think she just took off, do you think?
I mean, right now I don't even want to just like throw anything out there. Like, I hope that she's somewhere safe right now and with the kids. But I mean, could she just taken off? I don't know. But if somebody has her and they're not safe, like, I want them back now. Like, that's what's in my head. Like, if they're safe right now, they're gonna come back. But if they're not safe right now, that's the not knowing part. Like, if they're not safe, last night I had every light in the house on. I was hoping that I would just get ran over by the kids running in the door and just like barrel rushing me, but it didn't happen. And it was just a traumatic night trying to be here.
You strangled her. You suffocated your own little daughters. And then you stuffed their bodies into 9-inch openings in oil tanks. I can't even get into the grisly nature of what it did to their bodies when you stuffed them through a hole they were too big to go through. But it's disgusting. You did it to your own babies. And your wife was pregnant with a boy. And he professed to anybody who was listening, I just want her back. Oh, I just miss her so much. I miss them. I wish they could come back. That's the last guy I saw who had tells like Brian Hooker has. Same kinds of tells. Not saying that Brian Hooker did anything to Lynette. He's not charged with it. But he sure does look like he has a bunch of consciences of guilt. Sure doesn't act like a grieving husband and father who would care so much about Lynette's daughter, who he raised since she was three. Oh, no, no. Ghosted her. Hasn't had a word to say since he left the Bahamas, where he would stay forever until he found Lynette. Hasn't said a word to Lynette's mom. His mother-in-law for the last several decades. Not a word. Is that a grieving man, or is that somebody who might tuck away the ice cream wrappers late at night? Consciousness of guilt. TikTok, Brian. So again, dropdeadseriesinfo@gmail.com. And thank you for being a part of our community. Don't forget to subscribe. It is huge. I know it doesn't seem like a big deal. It's super easy and it's free, but it is really big to us when you subscribe. And also like, if you can hit the thumbs up, that's a huge thing for us as well. And then join our membership. That's big, big, big. And we have these really fun sessions where we do Ask Me Anything. Goes on for like an hour and a half, but it's a lot of fun. We've got a really great little community with Drop Dead Serious. And you guys have helped so much in crowdsourcing this crime, like crowd solving this crime. And I say it's a crime. Then again, he's not charged with a crime yet. Don't forget, truth isn't just serious. It's Drop Dead Serious.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hello, my name's Stephen Fry. Today, it's my pleasure to be your guide on this quite interesting tour of London.
Find out how Big Ben
keeps accurate time with the help of a handful of pre-decimal coins, like pennies,
farthings and shillings from 1933.
And that
London's classic red phone boxes were actually based on a tomb.
Join Stephen Fry and the makers of QI for fun-filled and fact-laden GPS-enabled audio tours. Enjoy on location or at home. To get started, visit qi.com/walkingtours.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.